It will be a blessing to you. I want you to turn, if you will, please, to the book of John, chapter number 1. As we come today, we've seen several of you. We recognize your faces, and sometimes it's hard when you get my age to put the name with the age or the face. And Miss Mary Ellen, what I want to know is, Marietta, are you still shouting the victory? Praise God. All right. Good to see you. God bless you. All right, good to have my brother, his wife here today. And I saw my boy Aaron walk in. He drove almost all the way from Montana without much sleep. And I thought you'd be in bed this morning, Aaron. But God bless you, boy. I appreciate you fixing that alarm clock and coming out. And then I got my wife back here. Amen. We've been married over 50 years. Amen. You can't tell by looking at me, can you? I heard about a guy that went to work, and he said, man, I'm going to divorce my wife. I looked at him, and he said, what in the world are you going to divorce your wife for after all these years? He said, well, she hadn't even talked to me for 3 months. He says, you better hold on to her. You got a good woman there. But be 52 years in January. All right, turn into your Bibles, please, John chapter number 1. And let me encourage you, please be a giver. Amen. And don't let the economy worry you. We got a big God. Amen. He owns it all. He owns everything you've got. He owns your clothes, your shoes, everything you've got, your car. And we got a big God. Give more than you give last year. If you don't give more than you gave last year, then you're not living by faith. You're living by sight. If God can take care of you 12 months last year, he can take care of you the next 12 months. And I believe that. He said, it's better to give than to receive. He said, you give. He said, I'll fill up your basket. He said, not only that, you keep on giving, I'll shake it up. So it'll back down a little bit. And then when you do that, he said, I'll fill it up to the brim. He said, then not only that, if you keep on giving, he said, I'm just going to let it run over. Now, you believe God?
Amen.
I believe God. And I'm going to tell you, listen, I believe the salvation of America is to continue to get missionaries to the field. Amen. And secondly, to protect Israel.
Yeah.
We better really, really be praying about what's going on today.
Amen.
We better be Israel's friend. In John chapter number one, I want you to look, please, if you will, at verse number 40, and I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject of finding others. In verse number 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon. Now look at that. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and findeth Philip. Look at that. And findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. You got that? One right after the other, finding somebody. He findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now I'm going to stop right there. I think you get the point. And we want to speak to you for just a few moments on the matter of finding others. Now we can start at the beginning and go through it, but we won't do it for time's sake. But I want you to know something, brother. It's sad to say that many churches are letting down. We're not finding others. It's time for the Baptist churches, the fundamental independent Baptist churches, to get back to the job of finding others.
Amen.
Finding others any way you can. Do it any way you can. Go next door. Take your buses, whatever you've got. Just go find others. Find others. That's what the whole Bible's about. Listen, that's what the church is about. The Baptist church is about finding others.
That's right.
Finding others, getting other people saved. The Muslims are finding others.
Right.
I mean, the fastest growing religion in the world is the Muslims. Right. They're finding others. The Hindus are finding others. I find Hindus everywhere I go. They're finding others. The Buddhists are finding others. The cults are finding others. The Seventh-day Adventists are finding others. It seems like sometimes the Independent Baptist churches have slipped on the matter of finding others. We need to find others. And I want you to know that's the church of the church's job is to go out and find others.
Amen.
Here we've got 6.4 billion people in the world. 99.8% of the money that goes to those have already heard the gospel, which means 0.02 of 1% goes to those that have never heard the gospel. Brother, we're way out of whack. I said in Sunday school, 15%, 85% of our missionaries go to 15 nations. We've got 248 nations. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Did you know if you could take the 6.4 billion people today and shrink it to 100, that you know four would have a Bible out of the 100? Four.
Wow.
Then we'd have 12 that would have a New Testament, 38 that would have maybe a little piece of a Bible. That means 54 would never have had any kind of scripture in their hand whatsoever. And we fail. We're not doing the job. We're just not doing the job. We've got to keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. We've got to keep this matter of missions and going after others, finding others. And there's reasons why we should go out and find others. Number one, let me give you the first one. We should find others because of the person of Jesus Christ. I mean the Son of God. He did no wrong. He was my Savior. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that's blessed my family.
Amen.
He's the one that's blessed my family, my children. He's the one that's blessed my brothers and sisters. He's the one, friend. Are you listening to me? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If it wasn't for Him, we'd all be dying and going to hell. If it wasn't for Him, we'd be born in India and be an Hindu today, worshiping cows and snakes and all the other different things, believing in incarnation or reincarnation. If it wasn't for Him, we'd be worshiping a big fat Buddha somewhere in a Buddhist temple.
Right.
I want you to know something. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I wouldn't be here today.
Right.
The Son of God, all He's done for us, surely we can do something for Him. Andrew found his brother. Philip found Nathaniel. They said, we have found Him, Jesus, the Messiah. We have found Him.
Amen.
We need to go and find others. We need to do like they did in the New Testament, finding others. And listen to me, this matter of mission and giving, that's finding others. That's our job. That's our job as a church, is to go out and find others. I read a story one time about a man that was blind. I believe it was Chicago, Illinois. And he was blind. Somebody told him, said, there's an eye doctor. Said he's a real specialist. He's really good. And says he's been helping people that are having trouble with their vision. So the young man went to him. And the doctor examined him. And sure enough, he said, I believe I can help you. And so he operated on him. And not long after that, the young man was able to take the patches off and blurringly, and his eyes began to prove, and soon he began to see. And as time went on, he got him a job. And he'd get on the subway, and every time he'd get on the subway in Chicago to go to work, he'd make the announcement, if anybody, you know anybody that's blind, send them to Dr. Snyder. He can help you to see. Send them to Dr. Snyder. He'd get on the subway in the afternoon, going the way home, and he would make the announcement on the subway. If anybody knows somebody that's blind, send them to Dr. Snyder. He can help you to see. Friend of mine, listen here. I'm here to tell you, friend of mine, if anybody that you know is lost and doomed and damned and going to hell, tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
Because He can take you to heaven. Oh, listen to me. This is Mission Month. Mission month for East Sly Baptist Church. For goodness sakes, folks, send them to Jesus. Find people. Find people and send them to Jesus. Secondly, the reason, friend of mine, that we should find others is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Did you know the gospel can change lives? It can change a man's life. It can take a drunkard and make him healing. It can take a dope addict and heal them. It can take families with family problems and heal them.
Amen.
I want you to know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Oh, give them the gospel. I mean, it changes lives. It'll take a crooked stick and make it straight. Oh, you listen, it'll sober up a drunk. It'll make a thief quit stealing. It'll take a prostitute and make her quit running in the streets. And friend of mine, this is Mission Month. Mission Month at East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. And we need to go out and do this matter of finding others. But thirdly, the reason we should do it is because of a place called heaven. Can you imagine going to heaven? It's a peaceful place. There's going to be no sickness there. There'll be no sorrow. You'll hear no sirens. You'll see no prisons. There'll be no poverty. There'll be no sin. There'll be no hospitals. There'll be no sickness, friend of mine. Oh, these past couple of years, I've seen friend after friend after friend go to heaven. Just day before yesterday, I got a call. My uncle in Kentucky, and 95 years old, he's dead. Dead. He's in heaven.
Amen.
He's in heaven. I think about Dr. Robertson. I had lunch with him about three months before he passed away. But I want you to know something. 97 years old, he's in heaven.
Amen.
He's in heaven today. Oh, I want you to know there is separation down here. But praise God, when we get there, brother, we will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Forever and forever. It's a place called heaven. But again, with the punishment of hell, that's a reason. If there's ever been a reason to tell people about others and find others, it's this matter of hell. Do you believe hell's real today? Do you really believe it? Do you honestly believe it? I can remember my dad telling me years ago. He said to me, he said, son, he said, if I let my mind dwell on this matter of hell, he said, I'd go crazy. I thought about that thing. I thought about it. People going to hell. People burning forever and forever. I wouldn't even want a mad dog to go to hell and never be able to die.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want a rattlesnake to go to hell and never be able to die. Now, I don't like rattlesnakes, don't like mad dogs, don't like anything like that. In fact, I'm not really an animal lover. I play ball when I was growing up. I mean, I played basketball, baseball. I played anything that was round, brother, looked like a ball. I can go by a park today, and man, the first thing I want to do is look and see if anybody's playing ball. I like it.
Yeah.
I wasn't a hunter. Now, my boy, he likes to hunt and fish, or he used to like to hunt. I think he killed Bambi, and he said, man, I'm not going to do that anymore. But we're all different. Everybody's different. But friend of mine, listen to me. I want you to know something. The punishment of hell. You talk about a missionary. Friend, I want you to know one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived was a guy by the name of Dies. Traditionally, that was his name. He was the rich man that died and went to hell, and he became a missionary. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in my tongue, or cool my tongue, put the tip of the water on my tongue and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. And brother, I want you to know, then he began to beg the Lord, please send them back. Send somebody to my brothers. Don't let my brothers come here. Don't let my brothers come here. Please send somebody back. And you know the story. You know, I often wondered why he didn't say, why don't you send somebody to my mom and dad? Wonder why. I'll tell you why. They were already dead and in hell. That's why. It was his brothers that were still living. Too late. Once you die, brother, you go to heaven or hell.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. And if there's ever been a reason to give money to missions, friend of mine, to those poor people living on dirt floors, worshiping snakes and cows and anything that moves, I want you to know it's today's day. If there's ever a day when the church ought to get busy, it's today. Listen, we're living in a mess.
Right.
We're in a mess. I don't care what you say. We're in a mess.
Right.
This country's in a mess.
Right.
The world's in a mess.
Right.
And brother, I want you to know something. We need to get at it. We need to get going. But brother, just think. One day, I'm going to see my mom again.
Amen.
Praise God, brother. That's my blessing. You talk about a hope. I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when I get through talking to him a little bit, I say, mind if I go see mom and dad, my little brother? I got a brother up there, a youngest brother. I want to see him. I got a grandma up there. I want to see all my relatives. As far as I know, all my relatives are saved, Barbara. As far as I know.
Amen.
And praise God, I want to see them again. And if there's ever a reason to give to missions, friend of mine, it's so that a lost and dying world can know about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And know that the blood of the Son of God shed his shed blood, takes our sin and puts them into the depths of the sea, puts them as far as the east is from the west,
Amen.
And takes my soul and puts them on a nail that's in a sure place. You can't beat that.
Amen.
You just can't beat that, friend of mine. Listen, the punishment of hell ought to make me want to go out and give to missions. This is Mission Month at East Slime Baptist Church. And friend of mine, I want you to know something. You and I need to give. Over 4,000 people have died since I started preaching and have gone straight to hell. Again, one of the reasons why I ought to give to missions, the promise that he's coming again. He said, I will come again.
Amen.
I want you to know he's coming. Madeline Murray said, well, he hadn't come for 2,000 years. I'm not looking for him. Well, she's dead and in hell today.
Right.
I want you to know something, friend of mine. He's coming. Jesus said he's coming. If he's not coming, if he doesn't come back, he was a fraud.
Right.
And not one time did he ever tell a lie. Not one time. You can't find one time in this book. He was God. He was the God-man.
Amen.
I want you to know something. He never lied. He said, I'm coming again. And brother, listen, he is coming. And I think right now we're right on the brink of it. With Russia and Iran and China and all of this thing lining up just like it's lining up. And with our administration backing off of Israel. I want you to know something. Read your Bible. Just read your Bible. You'll find out that we're right on the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not saved, you better get saved before you leave here. If you're here today, friend of mine, and you're not right with God, I'd get right with God before I left here. I want you to know he said, I will come again. I was preaching a funeral. I was down at the cemetery here on 301. Goes back years ago. I haven't been there in years. But I can remember preaching at the graveside service. And I can remember looking over across probably 50, 60 yards. And I saw a young man. He was standing over a grave. Never forget it. He was standing over a grave. When everybody left, I walked over to him. I looked at him. I said, young man, can I help you? And he said, no. I said, well, this must be somebody you loved. He said, yes. He said, this was my fiance. He said, she just got killed in an automobile accident. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, my name's Scotty Drake. I'd like to tell you how to be saved. I'd like to tell you how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He said, well, he said, really, right now, I'm not interested. Not interested. I couldn't talk him into anything. And I said, well, listen, let me at least have a word of prayer with you. I had a word of prayer. I started out. And as I started out, I saw a sign that pointed into the seminary. It said, dead end, dead end. And I thought to myself, no, that's not the dead end. That's just the beginning.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning. Friend of mine, let me tell you something. This matter of going to heaven is just the beginning. Years ago, I hadn't seen my grandma. I had a grandma. My mother's people were farm people. Her name, we called her Ma Bowman. They were all farm people in Kentucky. In fact, all the farms are still in the family. Most of them that I can think of. And they don't work them anymore. They quit working them. They about like independent Baptist churches. They quit working. You know, they make more money, you know, not growing stuff than they can growing it. It's this great society we live in. But I forget Ma. I love Ma. Ma was deaf. She'd been deaf since she was 21 years old. She'd had measles in her ears and made her deaf, and they never could get it straightened out, so she was deaf, but she could still read lips, and she could look at your lips and tell what you were doing. And I can remember I loved her, and she was a little old skinny thing, never weighed 100 pounds, but worked all the time. Milked cows, I mean worked the farm. She'd go to bed at 8 o'clock, up at 4 o'clock in the morning, waking everybody else up because she's rattling pots and pans. And, of course, she couldn't hear. We could hear. But, yeah. But she was a worker. She was a worker. Lived to be almost 99 years old and had in her will that Scotty Drake was to preach her funeral. Saddest funeral. I say sad. Hardest funeral I ever preached. And went to Kentucky, preached her funeral. But I can remember I hadn't seen her in about 4 years. Got married, had 3 kids. Aaron was one of them. He was just a kid, and the 2 girls were a little bit older. And Barbara and I, we was just talking. We said, you know, I haven't seen Ma. I hadn't seen Ma. I hadn't been to Kentucky in about 4 years. I want to go see my grandma. And so went up. We went out the old clay road, went out into the country, and got to the old farmhouse, pulled up to the farmhouse, pulled up the hill, and got behind the farmhouse. We got behind the farmhouse, and when we got there, I went and knocked on the door, and nobody answered. And so I started back to the car. As I started back to the car, I happened to look up the hill, kind of a hill, like, you know, went on up. And I looked up, and lo and behold, I saw Ma. I guess by that time, she was well over 70 years old, somewhere between 70, I don't know, somewhere around. And a little old scrawny thing, and I can see her now. She was looking down, and she saw the car, and she started coming, and the closer she would get, the faster she'd start coming. And she came to a fence. Remember the old fences, you know. And she came to a fence, and I wondered, well, how's she going to get through that fence? I didn't see a gate. Well, she started climbing that fence. And I thought, oh, Lord, she's going to kill herself. And then she swung herself over that fence, and I thought, man, she's just, sure enough, she's just going. And I didn't know. I was just standing there in shock. And so when she finally got over the fence, and she started coming to me, and she began to say, Law, Law, look who's here, look who's here, look who's here. And she'd come, and she grabbed a hold of me, put her arms around me, and she could say just the best she could, Law me, look who's here, look who's here. And she squeezed me and hugged me. Friend of mine, let me tell you something. One day, because her son found Jesus, and when he did, he went and he found his mama, and he led old Ma Bowman to the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I preached her funeral several years ago, and I know that she's in glory today. And one day, I'm going to get there, and when I get there, I'm going to see Ma, and she's going to say, look who's here, look who's here. Law me, look who's here. Hey, I've got the greatest hope in all the world. Reasons to find others, friend of mine. You can't find any better reasons than that to find others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to stand to your feet, please. Everyone standing. Bow your head, close your eyes. If you're not saved and you want me to pray for you, I'll be your friend. I'll not tell anybody. I'll not come to you. You just say, Brother Scotty, I'm just not sure. If I go to bed tonight and I die in my sleep, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I'll go to heaven. And I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Just raise it up. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. Would there be others? Raise your hand. I see you. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Would there be others? Would there be others? Say, Preacher, I'm concerned about my soul. I'm concerned. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, you saw the hands of these people. I pray they'll have the courage to step out and come forward. Let us pray with them and show them how to pray and be saved and know tonight when they go to bed that if they die in their sleep, they're going to heaven. Lord, we thank you so much if you do that. And do it today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Quietly pray. Come on, you raise.